Hello, everyone, and welcome to our office hours call, the first one of the new year, the first one of the new decade, and I'm excited to have you here. Yay! So the purpose of these calls is to answer your questions, provide support, share resources, and it's also a place where you can share with other folks. So the way, if you're new to Vital, yay, I am so happy to have you here. I know we had a lot of new people join us in December, so welcome. If it's your first call with us, you're in for a treat. No, actually, this isn't Vital. This is office hours. Never mind. Vital was earlier today. So this is the call that if you're in ERC or Body Balance, if you're new to Body Balance, welcome. And also those who are in like CAFE or any of the other programs that we do. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Excited to have you here. And what I usually like to do for these is to look at the Q&A first to see if anybody put in a question in advance. And it looks like there are a few. And I'll start with those. And then I will go to the call itself and hear your voices, which is my favorite part. So if you want to raise your hand and ask me a question or share something, just raise your hand, *2 on your telephone keypad. And if you're in as a web person, like you dialed, you used the link and you didn't actually pick up your phone, there should be a spot there that says raise hand. And worst case is go to the chat and say, hey, I'm raising my hand, I want you to open it, and then I'll open it. So I'm going to start with the Q&A where I had several questions. One from Carol. In Spanish Fort. Where's Spanish Fort, Carol? I have two lower front teeth that are loose due to gum recession, bone loss, periodontal disease, and plaque building up on those teeth very fast. Two more, one on either side of the loose ones, a little loose, so four teeth are involved and the rest of my teeth are tight. Do you have suggestions for rebuilding the bone and tightening these teeth? Thank you. Yeah, Carol. So just so you know, an indication of when you have gum loss like that or bone loss in the mouth, you might have it in other, you likely have it in other places in your skeleton. So we really need to do an overall bone rebuilding type of program. And we have a program called Eating for Bone Health. If you go to the website, drreedandmarie.com, and you click on Eating for Bone Health, or you click on video classes, I think, and then you'll find Eating for Bone Health there, and you can just, you know, get in, register for that. If you're in ERC or body, ERC, it's part of the Body Freedom Foundation, so you should have access there. But in general, you want to alkalize your diet, get your blood sugar in balance, get off of sugar, get off of allergens, because those are going to weaken your bone, especially gluten. Gluten has been linked to low bone health. Vitamin C, very vital. A lot of people are low in vitamin C, very important for periodontal health. And you can look at the microbiome in the mouth. A lot of times that's out of balance. You can do get chewable probiotics. There's a company called Primal Life. Primal Life, I think it's Primal Life. They have this toothpaste and tooth powder that has charcoal in it and it's supposed to be helpful and have other herbs and things in it. They also have this thing. It's a almost like a UV or infrared kind of light thing that you put in your mouth. I actually have one. They sent me as a sample, and it's supposed to be very, very helpful for the plaque buildup and for building the strength in your bones. So it's Primal. Let me get the exact website for you. I have a link to it. They were sponsors at our Shine event, and Primal Tooth. She did a really good talk, Trina. Here we go. PrimalLifeOrganics.com. PrimalLifeOrganics.com. They have a lot of stuff here. Let's see, copy a lot of tooth care. The other place to look for tooth care advice is Living Libations. Living Libations has a bunch of stuff. Let me write my name in here. They have gunpowder, so does Primal Life. I'm going to put the link in. And then livinglibations.com. Let's see if I can find that one for you. Living And if you go to the thing that I mentioned to you before, if you go to Eating for Bone Health, that's going to be something that's going to do it from the inside out. These other things are going to be from the mouth, in the mouth, you know, restoring the microbiome and restoring the gum health, et cetera, et cetera. So this is livinglibations.com as well. So I put both of these in the chat, Carol. Oh, and Lynn's on. Lynn just did it. Oh, Lynn did an article as well. Thank you, Lynn. You're so fast. You're so much faster than I am. Wow. You're amazing. Okay, Patty Shelley. Hi. Does undigested food equal malabsorption issues or parasites with something other than combination of both? Well, okay, if you're seeing particles of food in your stool, the first thing you want to look at is chewing. Because if you're not chewing, then there's no way that the rest of the digestive tract is going to break it down. So that's the starting point, is chewing and really making sure your amylase and your digestive enzymes in your mouth are good. So a good microbiome is important. You're going to see particles of fiber if you're eating a lot of fiber, right? So parasites generally, I couldn't say that you have parasites based on seeing undigested food in there, but it could be malabsorption as well as not chewing. Parasites will generally tend to eat all your undigested food. Patty, second question. I've completed listening to the macronutrient module about gluten and was wondering about vital wheat gluten. I've seen it on many healthy websites. Would it be safe to assume all gluten is not good for you? Absolutely. Vital wheat gluten is gluten, pure form. It's not like pasta that has wheat and the rest of it. It's pure gluten. Same idea. So, yeah, I would say avoid gluten. How are skeptic my husband? Please tell a skeptic that most people in the US have gluten issues. Unless you're willing to test, we can't show sensitivity or intolerance. So a lot of people, I don't recommend testing all that often, just because I can tell when people are sensitive and they're willing to go off of it and save a bunch of money. But I would get them tested. The best test, the most inexpensive test, the most accurate test that I know of is the stool test from enterolab.com, enterolab.com. And that's the only way. I've had patients who are skeptics. I'm like, okay, do the test. And then they do the test and then they convinced. You can share with him some of Dr. O'Brien's stuff, which you should have access to hopefully by now. But if you go to his site, he'll talk about it. And he talks about studies that have been done by scientists that show that for the majority of people who've been on this hybridized gluten for a long time, that their guts are sensitive and they're going to not handle it very well. Patty, with gas and bloating, would you start with your IRSPT program or digestive? How are these plans different? IRSPT is insulin resistant, so that's blood sugar balance. And digestion is where I would start with gas and bloating. And digestion is the core. If you look at my pyramid, the base of the pyramid is digestion. So I would start there. Why since the 1900s have we noticed this intolerance to gluten other than seeing GMOs? Well, GMOs are a big part of it, but also we've been hybridizing it. We've been hybridizing the wheat to make the wheat, the bread rise better. So we're increasing the amount of gluten in them. That's number one. Number two, people are eating a freaking boatload of it. If you look at the majority of people's diet, it's cereal or toast for breakfast. It's a sandwich for lunch. And then, you know, pizza, bread, pasta, other things, muffins, cookies, cakes, pies. We're eating way more gluten than our bodies really can handle. And it's not a food that we should be eating a tremendous amount of because of the inflammatory nature. So it's the hybridization, the changing it from a rare form to a not nature built form. And it's the sheer quantity that people are eating. So great questions, Patty. All right. So I'm going to go to the call-in. Raise your hand, star two, if you have a question. I don't see hands other than the one hand that went up earlier to say yes, and I put it down. So if you have questions, star two will raise your hand, and you can ask me a question. And I'm going to go to chat and see. Gail asked some questions. With continuous glucose monitor, been seeing that blood glucose goes up with exercise and goes down with eating after the exercise. This is due to liver releasing glycogen, yes. If this is regularly, is this okay? Does it mean it's not enough intake or is it stress? So that's a great question. So depends on how high it's going up. If it's going up 10 or 20 points, people who are on like a more ketogenic type plan where your blood glucose is kept at a really good lower level, there's not as much in the blood available for the exercise, and so we need to break down glycogen. The other thing is, if you are, like for me, I noticed when I was fasting and I did intensive exercise, my blood sugar went up from like 50 to 90, which 90 is not bad, but that's a huge jump, and I was concerned because it was day 4 of fasting that I didn't have any more glycogen, so that was really me breaking down muscle. So sometimes if you're exercising too heavily for what your body can easily handle, then your blood sugar is going to go up because it can be a cortisol response. There's no way for us to know that other than to get a bunch of cortisol test kit vials and figure that out. But that's basically the way I look at it. What can be done with elevated blood glucose with exercise? What is too low if not type 1 diabetes? So if it's lower than 75, it could be ketosis. So here's the go. Here's the thing. I don't think there is a too low. It's how you feel. So if your ketones go up and your glucose goes down, I wandered out this morning. I took my glucose. I did a 24-hour fast, actually 36-hour fast. And I woke up this morning and took my sugar, and it was 64. I felt fine. I'm fine with that, right? But if your ketones, my ketones were 2.5. So my ketones went up to make up for the glucose being down. But if your glucose is getting very low and your ketones are not going up, then you could start feeling lightheaded and tired and dizzy and things like that because you're not going to have enough fuel for your body. So you said if taking care of type 1 diabetes with blood glucose in the 40s, they did not feel it, and although they were brittle diabetics. Yeah, if somebody is type 1 diabetic and their blood glucose goes in the 40s, you're risking it continuing to go down because they're going to be on insulin, and that's artificially driving it down further. So if somebody with type 1 in the 40s needs to get their fuel, their sugar up, something that can bring their sugar up, whether it be some fruit juice or vegetable juice or, you know, a date or something that they can eat and will readily bring that up. Absolutely. They can't go down that low if you're a type 1 diabetic. If blood glucose is low and a person feels fine, then it's okay. Yeah, if the glucose is low, they're not a type 1 diabetic, then they're fine. I would highly recommend getting a ketone meter to also check that. When is it too low or is there cause for concern? Cause for concern would be, sometimes people who have elevated sugars like type 2 diabetics who suddenly eat a better diet and are bringing it down, they will feel off when their glucose goes even just down to 100 or 110 because they're used to having it at 180 or 200. So if somebody's getting, you know, like headache, dizzy, feels like they're going to faint, obviously there's a problem there and that's too low and they need to eat. There are some people symptomatic at 75. Absolutely, that's what I just said, right? Because they're used to having it much higher and they get symptomatic. And again, ketone meter. Get a ketone meter. Gail, to clarify the first question, at blood glucose elevates when exercising, lowers when eating. Would you explain this and how to help the situation? Yeah, I did. I think I did answer that already. All right. If I didn't answer all your questions adequately, Gail, just ask again. Hi, Denise and Lynn. And who else is on? Those are the only people. If you're on the chat, comment. Just say hi so we know who's here. I see Lynn and Mary and Sarah. Hey, Sarah. I haven't talked to you in a while. And Patty. So questions, comments. How is your new year, new decade going? Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. So I have a question having to do with sleep. Usually I sleep pretty well, like atom bombs could go off and it wouldn't wake me up. But lately I've noticed I'm not sleeping well, and so I've been doing research on it. And some of my research are in like my Chinese medicine or Ayurvedic books. And I found it interesting, and they're older, but they keep talking about the importance of grains, particularly whole wheat, brown rice, and oats. And and I'm not suggesting that people go out and start eating them, but what, and so I wanted to kind of run by you, like you were talking earlier, they've the quality of our grains have changed,
yeah.
So it's actually not healthy. So now people are eating less, but I've also, besides myself, noticed other people are having sleep issues. And it just has me curious, because now we're taking certain grains out of our diet, if there's a connection.
Hmm.
And I don't have an answer. I just am curious.
I don't have an answer either. I think that, you know, we'd have to look at the amino acid profiles. And if they were relying on grains to get certain, you know, like, I don't know, tryptophan, GABA, things like that, I'd have to, I don't have all those memorized, so I have to look at a chart to see what
sure.
the grain, you know, but I certainly don't, you know, and those are old ideas, I think. I think that macrobiotics in general promotes a high grain diet, like 60%
right.
of the diet in grain, and it doesn't work for everybody. And you know, we know as we look that some people, that it's individuality, right? If there's a certain need for a particular set of nutrients and amino acids that the body
right.
needs to sound sleep, and you've been relying on getting them from grains, but you've been off of grains for quite a long time, so it's not like you suddenly, you know, off grains. So in your case, I wouldn't be suspicious, but if somebody says, you know, I've been eating lots of quinoa and brown rice and things like that, and now, you know, I stopped because I'm trying to, like, a keto plan, and now I'm not sleeping, then I would suspect, well, maybe there is something in the grain, like there may be some chemical in there, some, you know, maybe theanine or something like that, that magnesium, I don't know what might be in there. But I think, first of all, making a generalization, like
right.
all that, you know, is not a good idea. And I think it's just going to be having to look, like, did you suddenly stop grains? I thought you hadn't been on grains much for a long time.
Right. Well, I do eat some, like, I eat quinoa.
Yes.
I've added millet in over the last few months. And especially when it gets colder.
Yeah.
Grounding.
Yeah,
I do. I mean, they're gluten, they're non-gluten grains, but I just was really, I just started thinking about it and was curious.
Well, you could be curious because, but if you were doing them and then suddenly stopped and had a sleep issue, then
right.
I would be more suspicious. But if you've been doing them along and then suddenly.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's the grain. Yeah, I'm not, it's not the grain
yeah,
for me,
yeah.
But I just, in all the things that I'm reading, I just, it kept coming up, and I just found it interesting.
Yeah.
And I saw we had this call, and I was like, well, I'll just ask, because they do talk about it in terms of calming the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes sense with what you're talking about. With their amino acid profile.
Amino acid profile. And it may be, I recall this was a long time ago, and I don't remember the specifics, of somebody who had been on a raw vegan diet, and they were doing really well, and then suddenly they started to have an issue, and I don't remember if it was sleep or something else, and somebody suggested that they add some grains back in, and they did, and they felt better. And I don't remember the specifics of it. So it's like everything else. So first
right.
of all, if you suddenly start to have difficulty sleeping or, you know, stressed out or something that's happening that's different, my process is always to go back to, okay, how long has this been going on and what shifted, what changed, what
right.
is it the environment, is it the cold weather, did you travel to a place that maybe was musty or moldy, was there a heavy metal exposure? Like in your case, it's certainly not going to be the farmer suddenly started spraying pesticides because it's winter and they're not doing that at this time of year, right?
Right,
so
right.
We want to look at all those things that you've done differently, emotional things, you know, the
yeah.
last loved one moving, changing jobs, right?
There's, yeah.
There's all sorts of things, especially with sleep because it just requires a lot to, it's for people who are busy and active to like let that body shut down. And there are a lot of things that interfere with that process.
Right. And that's why I started doing research. It's like, okay, I know emotionally and spiritually there are these things going on, but at the same time, I want to support my body. And yeah. So I was just researching different foods and nutrients that could be helpful.
Yeah.
I know. So one thing that's really helped me is Shizandra berries.
And oh, that's great for calming the nervous system.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Plus, it just was really helpful. So, but, you know, it was just, I was reading that and I read it in more than one resource. And so it had me just real curious.
Did you do any research around in other areas other than the Chinese medicine?
Well, there's Chinese medicine. There's some Ayurveda books. You know, and so I was just curious, and so I had thought a lot about the amino acid profile, but that makes a lot of sense.
Here's an article, I'll put it in the chat, Influence of Dietary Intake on Sleeping Patterns of Medical Sleep.
Okay.
Let me put it in the chat. It basically said, in the summary so far what I saw, and it basically, it started to say that papaya decreased sleep quality, and this was in Pakistan in medical students. Significant associations were found with soybeans, whole grains, processed meat, dark chocolate, spicy dairy products high in fat, sugar, lima beans, and carbohydrates in relation to sleep quality, with soybeans exhibiting a particularly stronger relationship. Odds of good sleep quality were 2.5 times more likely with soybean intake, 3.26 times more likely with carbohydrate, and 6.57 times more likely with lima beans. Intake of papaya was associated with reduced sleep quality.
Oh.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
That's just the summary, and then there's the whole article is there. Let's see if this article in there.
Well, I have a friend who raises non-GMO organic soybeans, and so I... and he raises some that are specific for soybean sprouts. And so I did start adding those in again this last fall.
So sprouted soybeans?
Sprouted soybeans. He actually makes some that are specific to make natto. And
okay, yeah. I was
going to
say.
I bought them, but I haven't done it yet.
Natto and tempeh tend to be, soy without the problems of soy because of the
fermentation. Right, and miso.
And miso, yeah, miso for sure.
Okay, yeah. This is good. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate this.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
There's Lynn. Lynn Q. New in Body Balance. Yay. Okay. That was Lynn. Who else? Let me see if there's anybody else typed in. Questions, comments? I want to hear how, your 2020 is going so far, right? We all come to I'm going to stop this bad habit. I'm going to start this new habit. And generally speaking, by mid-January, which we're not at yet, but generally speaking, by mid-January, they're all gone. So I want to hear your desires, your goals for this decade and this year and the whole decade. Okay, so no more questions in there. Let's see, any more in the chat. One of the things, Lynn, if you're trying to get sound and can't hear it, sometimes if you exit out all the way, maybe we can type that in the chat for her. Exit out all the way and then put her back in. Oh, okay. Cool. Must have been something with your speaker. All right. So, okay. So Star 2 raises your hand. Let's hear it. type in the chat, raise your hand, let me hear from you. Sarah, I haven't heard your voice in a long time. What is your, what's on your plate for 2020? What's your goal? Sarah, I can put you on the spot. Can I do that? You can say no if you want to. Oops. Not hearing you.
I'm here.
Oh, you are there. There you are. I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be. This year is a lot about fine tuning, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy to be starting Sweet Spot again.
Yay.
Yeah.
Good. What's your plans? How are you doing on your book? You were making some good progress on that.
Oh, I'm enjoying it so much. It's Dr. Rita Marie. It is so much fun. Every page is a new adventure. It's wonderful.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
It's better than being reborn or whatever.
And you know what's cool about it? Whether you ever consider it finished or not, because artists generally don't ever consider their stuff finished, right?
Right.
It's the act of having fun and doing it every day and having that outlet and having that creativity and seeing your inner world being reflected in the outer world on paper. I think it's wonderful.
It really is, and keeps me more excited about life than I could have anticipated. So, you know, all the way around. It's a great health-promoting thing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm so pleased with that. And just, you know, keeping on with that one and taking my breaks. I like to spread out all my movement all day, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Well, you'll appreciate this. So over the weekend, I cleaned out my garage. My son's girlfriend came over, and we spent 2 days completely reorganizing. We took 4 loads of junk to Mama's Junk, stuff we didn't want to donate, and then we have another 2 loads of junk that is junk. And we created an area in the garage for art. So we have, yes, my pottery wheel and my kiln and a table that to spread out on and all this room. And then I brought in my easel and all my watercolor equipment and stuff. And I'm making a commitment that at least an hour a week and I'm going to do art.
Oh, how so fun!
And you know what was really fun, Sarah, is I had this portfolio kind of bag, you know, those bags that you can put your paintings in. And I pulled stuff out of there and I didn't even remember that I'd done. And I'm like, wow, this one is pretty good. And then I found a calendar that I put together of my watercolors in 2006. And I found it. I'm like, oh, I didn't even remember those paintings. So it was very fun and very cool. So I'm going to join you on that. I won't be able to do it every day. It's just not practical. But we have a heater out there, a space heater, so when it's cool, when it's too cold, I'm going to put the space heater on, and at least an hour a week is what I'm committing to doing.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful. Thank you for telling me that. It's so cool. Real.
Thank you for listening. It's fun to share.
It'll be magical.
Yes. Well, I think what I'm going to do is I'll pull out some of my paintings and I'll start to share them with people. They're nothing like yours. You are a true artist. I am an amateur, but it's fun to just see colors turn into form on paper. It's really fun. And it's an outlet. And like you said, it's very healing. It's very, very healing.
It is. And really, it doesn't matter how much experience, you know?
Yeah.
But yes. Thank you for helping me to reap whatever that within. And
I'm excited that you're thinking
talk forever about how healthy that is.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for sharing, Sarah.
Yes, and also just thank you for every single post and all the food recipes, so I don't have to think about what to eat.
I appreciate it.
So okay.
Good. Yeah. I'm trying to make it easy. I love food. And over the holidays, I really did a lot of food making. So I was posting a lot. Now I'm doing a few days of fasting and then fasting with food. And I'm going to Hawaii next week and, you know, gotta have that bathing suit body back.
Yeah. All right. So there's no, we're not kicking off a live sweet spot, right? We just got back to
the live one is going to be actually in April. We will kick it off. There'll be a call on April, like, 2nd or 3rd or something like that. And we're going to be recruiting, you know, new people and enrolling new people in. But this is just the ERC version of it that we're doing right now, just the metabolic reset. And I'm going to post some pictures, some, you know, motivation and inspiration over the course of the next 30 days, because that's how I'm kicking off my metabolic reset. It started yesterday, and I started with 36 hours of fat. Well, actually, I'm going on, like, yeah, probably about 40 hours of fasting so far.
Wow.
So it's always a good way to start a reset is the fasting or, you know, the fasting with food. I don't know if you did that with us, but that was really, really helpful for so, so many people. Like, so many people that got actually benefits just similar to fasting while eating these beautiful things. We're even renaming it to fasting while feasting, because that's what I kept saying to people. Oh, my God, those recipes don't look like you're fasting. It looks like you're feasting. Yet they were getting the lower blood sugars and the higher ketones and losing weight and losing belly fat. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. So we'll incorporate some of that into Sweet Spot as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Okay, who else wants to share something? So I shared my goal, one of my goals. I have a lot of them for 2020, and that's to get back into doing art and creative stuff. And as I looked through my stuff, I was like, wow, I made all that stuff. This is really cool. And I'm going to get the kiln fired up, and that's what's been holding me back. But we found the instruction manual. We couldn't find the instruction manual to it. So we found the instruction manual. So we're going to get it fired up and start firing some clay and doing some painting. I'm very excited for it. Who else wants to share something? Let's see. I'm trying to move my, oh, why is that not working? There we go. All right. So Patty said, I'm motivated to start setting up a workshop with my local gym on nutrition. Perfect, Patty. I think that's awesome. The gyms need that, and that's a great source of clients for you. Lynn, I want to be healthier, more energy, about to process how to improve my health. Yes, and we're here for you. I know you signed up for Body Balance, and we'll have our first call for Body Balance on Thursday. Gus should have gotten an email about that on Monday. Patty. We'll start Sweet Spot again and also try the fasting with food with my husband and family. Yeah, check out the posts that Heather has been doing about how she just recruited her husband who was a skeptic and how he's like 4 days later or whatever, 5 days later, he's like really excited to be down 7 pounds and an inch on his waist and feeling really good. So, and Lynn, you're doing the 30-day challenge with your husband too. Yay! Lynn says her mantra for the week, I call upon my spirit, imagination, and emotional waters. They strengthen me on my new path. Beautiful. Patty, I'm trying to organize my home a little at a time too. Yeah, I started with my office and I rearranged it. I still have a few piles in here, but it's so much nicer to be in a cleaner space. And I think a clean space helps you to clear your mind and be more focused. And all. I'm listening to a book. I just started listening to it, and it's called Atomic Habits. And it's all about these little habits that build and add onto each other to create amazing results. So I'm only about 2 chapters into it, but it's been very interesting so far. No balance, only flow. I like the word flow much better. Yeah. I like that better. All right. I'm putting together an online class, maybe a series, on using herbs and plants to increase energy and clarity. Beautiful. Sounds wonderful. Patty, I'm still overwhelmed with so much of this wonderful information. I can't seem to concentrate on one thing. Ugh. It is. You look at it like a kid in a candy store. I'll go here. I'll go here. Just go in the order that we provided and, you know, take it a day at a time. Have a few hours a week, whatever number of hours you can commit to. I know I was talking to somebody yesterday who said she's committed to 3 hours a day of learning. I'm like, that's awesome. That is so awesome. Lynn says, focus and surrender have been the words that God has been telling me. It has been helping me. That's awesome. Oh, Patty submitted a question. I'll go there. Thank you, Patty, for sharing that this gets overwhelming at times. There's so much information and changes to make. Yeah, it's just a matter of one thing at a time. And that's why this book is really cool, because he's talking about habits. I'll share, you know, and summarize once I finish. But he's talking about habits like, you know, they don't need to be monumentous. And it's building. It's building. So if you, you know, go to the gym and you go 3 days this week and you don't see like a big shift in your biceps or your belly fat or whatever, you'll give up. You know that it takes longer to do that. Same thing with shifting the biochemistry in the body. That's why we made Body Balance a 9-month program. Not, you know, that's why ERC is a year-long program, and many people repeat it year after year just to continue to get the support and continue to chip away at those habits. Like, we help you identify the most critical ones at the beginning, and then we help you to, at your pace that's comfortable, shift it. Now, if you come in with cancer or an autoimmune disease, we're going to encourage you to make those shifts faster, right? Because we don't want to waste time and have your body be deteriorating. But for the most part, when you make the habits happen at a rate that is comfortable for you, then they become normal. They become part of it. He was talking about it's more than just habits. He had four aspects of it, but one was your identity. And when we identify as someone who's lazy and doesn't like to exercise, you're going to continue to be someone who is lazy and doesn't like to exercise. And if you identify with yourself as an athlete, you know, or a budding athlete, blooming athlete, right? Then we start to think in terms of what would an athlete do right now? Would an athlete go lay on the couch and watch a ball game? Or would the athlete go out and, you know, jog or hike or bike or do something physical? What would a healthy person do? Like, if you consider yourself, I'm an unhealthy person, I eat lousy and blah, 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 I'm overweight. If you ask the question, what would a healthy person do right now? Would the healthy person choose the salad or the nachos, right? What would a healthy person do? And you start to identify yourself differently. Okay, we can be so much more objective and forgiving and appreciative of our creations when we look at them after a year or more. Yeah, Sarah, some of these are like 8 or 10 years old or more. Okay, I'll look there. Patty, I'm going to finish reading here. Energy flows so much better when there's less stuff to go around. Oh, God, getting rid of that stuff just felt so good. It was like, and I was really happy to have Lauren there with me, because I would say, oh, yeah, this is in perfectly good condition. I had bought this years ago, and I still want to use it. She goes, look, how long has it been? I said, 10 years, 20 years. She said, why don't we give it to someone else and let them enjoy it? And then if you really want it again, you'll get it when you decide in 10 more years, right? And so it just was, she just helped me, and then she just kept playing that, kept playing in my head. And after, at the beginning, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to get rid of that. And after the end, she'd go, do you want to save this? I'm like, no, get rid of it. And we saved a small collection, a small box of, do you know those things that your kids make it brings you good feelings, right? The things that are, you know, have memories associated with them. So we kept a small box of that. I kept one box of books, you know, that we had when they were growing up, and I donated the rest. And I have about 3 boxes that I don't want to just donate to any old place. I want to donate them to some homeschoolers because they're in perfect condition and they're amazing books. So it's so much better. Your brain works better. Your energy works better. Your immune system works better when there's flow and when there's organization. Patty, I'm learning to stop and take more deep breaths. So critical. Yes. Okay, so I'm going to go to the Q&A and see what Patty put in. It sprouted buckwheat. Okay, I think I recalled noting that your dessert recipe. So again, it depends, right? We always ask that question, and it always has to be with it depends. Personally, the sprouted buckwheat, if I eat like the granolas and things like that have the sprouted buckwheat, I have discovered that they do raise my blood sugar. So I have to be careful. I only eat a small amount. So I would test it with your blood sugar. Overall, sprouted buckwheat can be great. Don't overdo sprouted buckwheat though, because there every food has a toxin in it. And there's a particular toxin in the buckwheat that I overdid it once. And it wasn't even the sprouted buckwheat made into crackers. It was the grassy sprouted buckwheat. And I overdid it. I was just like juicing it and drinking it. It was amazing. And I started to get this weird sensation in my hands, like they were sensitive to cold and that they went completely numb. And I told a friend, it feels like there's like this toxin running through my arms and into my hands. And it was very, very sensitive to light. Like if I was in the sun, it made it worse. And I was at an amusement park with water rides with my kids. And it was awful. I mean, literally my hands were completely, and numb is a weird word. Well, it turns out I did some research and found out that there's a particular toxin. I think it's like flagotoxin or something that's in buckwheat that can cause that. But it's only when you eat a lot of it. And they discovered it a lot with people who went to like Hippocrates, which is the health institute where they do a lot of Ann Wigmore type stuff where they'll do sprouted buckwheat juices, or they put them in and they make these great juices. And people who were living there were doing this and were noticing this problem. And they found that it also happens in, I think it's cattle or sheep. I don't remember, cows or sheep, but it was basically they would find that when they were exposed, they were in fields where they were eating the buckwheat and they were exposed to a lot of sunlight that the animals were getting it. It's quite an interesting thing, and I don't even know how I happened upon it. So yeah, let me refresh and see if anybody else has there. Okay, so chat. A bit off topic, but that's Emanuela. What can this be? Oh boy, is that your legs? There's some ulceration there. There's some browning there. There's also, you've got some knobs on your veins there. There's some venous things. Have you had that checked out? I would definitely have that checked out. It's not off topic at all. That's something that needs to be checked out. And it looks like maybe it's just the angle that the forward leg, which is probably your right leg, looks thicker than your left leg. The left leg looks quite thin at the ankle, but again, it might be the angle, but there's some ulceration. Blood sugar, I don't know if it goes all the way down into your feet or not, but there could be some neuropathy going on. I would test your blood sugar. I would get all the blood sugar components tested. It could be an infectious process. I would get that checked out by a skin specialist. Wow. Has been checked, but nothing was said? My goodness. They didn't say there was anything wrong. Did they give you steroids or something to try to put on it? Blood sugar is an issue, I believe. So it could be a diabetic neuropathy kind of thing where your blood supply going down there. So you've got to get your blood sugar under control. Check your A1C, check your fasting insulin, check your fasting glucose. Try the 5-day fasting with food thing and start doing that once a month. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell. It could be a parasite, sure. I mean, it's something is eating away there. Lindsay, I had he was checked by a vein, oh, that's your husband, checked by a vein specialist. Well, there's definitely some issues there going on with the vein, all right? Did he have a Doppler done? How high is his blood sugar? Lindsay, I heard about artificial sweeteners raise blood sugar. I was speaking with a friend today who's intermittent fasting and was taught that all sweeteners, even stevia, can raise insulin. Because it tastes sweet. Yeah, there's a lot of people who say that. I haven't seen that to be true. And of course, like anything else, I think the artificial sweeteners for sure, they've been found to change the microbiome. Stevia is not a sweetener, first of all. Stevia is a plant, right? Erythritol, xylitol, those kind of things are actually extracts, and I would consider them sweeteners. Stevia is actually a plant. And if you get the green stevia, the green dried stevia, or you get a plant and you grow it, it's just like any other plant. Yes, it tastes sweet, but for most people, my experience has been that for most people, it doesn't raise blood sugar, but it can in some people. So again, you have to test it. I mean, I'm super, super sensitive to blood sugar, and mine never causes a problem with me. It could cause cravings because it's sweet, right? Somebody has that emotional connection with sweet. It could be that, too. His blood sugar was 110 one morning, and that's getting up high. I would have him checked, fully checked with that, and I would find a different doctor because if they didn't, that's a lot of ulceration. And if they don't have something to say about it, yes, it could be, they should be culturing it to see if there is a microbe growing there, for sure. They can do that. You take a swab of it. But there's some blood supply issue. There's some nerve supply issue. It could be the diabetic neuropathy. I can't imagine any doctor looking at that picture and saying that there's nothing wrong there. There's some stuff there. I would go to somebody else. If he hasn't been to a dermatologist, for sure a dermatologist, a vein specialist didn't pick this up, Doppler, and all those other tests we talked about. Culturing it okay? You mean they cultured it and they didn't find any microbes? Then it's more likely to be something like a neuropathy. Yeah. There are some ways that you can do ozone, like there's ozone bags and you shoot ozone into things to help healing, promote healing. But I would be also looking at what's his diet like, what's he eating, and get him to really clean it up big time and put him on a metabolic reset. Let's see. Anybody else? Questions or comments? Star 2 raises your hand. I'll look one more time in the Q&A. No more. Oh, it's the same for almond flour, coconut flour. Well, almond and coconut flour coconut might have a little bit of carbohydrate. Almond doesn't have the carbohydrate content that buckwheat does. Buckwheat is a grain. I mean, it's a grass. So I think you check it, but it depends on what you're doing with it as well. If almond flour, coconut flour are defatted, which means that they've taken out the fat and it's just the protein and the carbohydrate, it could because it's more concentrated. If it's almond flour that's just made by finely grounding the almonds or coconut, finely grinding the coconut, then less likely to cause a problem. So I would check it, just check your blood sugar with it. Generally speaking, anything that's turned to flour will tend to be more likely to raise a blood sugar than a whole food. The other concern I have with almond and coconut flour, they're generally used in recipes that are baked. And almonds for sure are very high in omega 6. Those fats are very volatile to temperature changes. And so whenever you heat nuts or seeds, you're generally going to be getting an effect like an oxidation effect, usually if they go above 118. Coconut tends to be stable at higher temperatures, so you can tend to get away with it higher. But be careful about the, the keto cookies and things like that that are basically using a flour alternative and then baking, because I don't think that's as good. I tend to any of my fatty foods, like almonds and coconut and seeds and all that, I'll have them just raw. All right, let's refresh. No more there. Chat. Yeah, Emanuela, you suspect a diabetic neuropathy too. I, very highly suspect that. Lynn said to help with the bruising meantime, you would make a comfrey vinegar poultice. Yeah, that could be helpful. But you also want to deal with it from the inside out. So I'd be looking at vitamin C and bioflavonoids. I'd be looking at essential fatty acids because sometimes people get those funny looking ankles, like the blood pooling in the ankles, but fatty acid deficiencies. I would be doing an overall full nutritional evaluation on him and looking for nutritional imbalances, looking at his diet and seeing what could be contributing. Clearly his diet is not ideal if his fasting blood sugar is 110. And I would be looking at those other markers, the fasting insulin and the hemoglobin A1C, to see what's going on there. I mean, if he were to come in to see one of us or one of my trained practitioners, we would be doing a full blood panel. We would probably recommend getting a culture on it, but you said, well, you will be doing culturing. Yeah, I recommend getting a culturing on it. Probably a Doppler as well for circulation issues. For the vein, the pooling, the little beading in the vein, you know, generally speaking, it's a circulation issue. And this could help in general for diabetic neuropathy, stagnant blood, right. So you're laying on your back, have him elevate his legs to one leg at a time to about 45 degrees and then pump the ankle, like up and down, and that will help to pull the blood that's pooled in the ankles up towards the heart. He had half his digestive system removed years ago. Well, that's going to contribute for sure. Why was that? Was it a cancer? Was it diverticulitis? Was it, that's a big piece. That's definitely a big piece. Yeah, overall, complete health makeover. And if you want to talk, if he's open to talking to one of our coaches, he can reach out. And, you know, Lynn or Annette or one of our coaches can talk to him. Andrea, GBA, best cure for hiccups that last more than 24 hours. My husband's going through a miserable bout of this. Wow. So oftentimes, I mean, the diaphragm, which is where what goes into spasm with hiccups, is actually controlled by C3, the nerve that comes off of C3. So getting chiropractic adjustments or craniosacral therapy can often help with that. There's a technique in craniosacral where you're actually moving the hands along the different diaphragms of the body. So, you know, one hand behind the neck and one hand over the front of the neck and then one hand behind. People who are trained in that craniosacral therapy might be very helpful for that. He has no teeth and he speaks only Italian. Well, that would be hard for us to help him, but you would have to be translating. No teeth, yeah. So he's had health issues his whole life. Makes me more suspicious about that being a diabetic neuropathy. Lynn is saying how to make a pulses. Mash fresh or dried comfrey leaves with a pestle and combine it with enough apple cider vinegar to soak the comfrey thoroughly. Emmanuel is in NEPT. Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot that you've been learning. What can I use from NEPT? Oh, there's so much, you know, just getting him on a good clean diet, doing the testing, seeing what's out of balance. And you're the only one that's going to be able to speak to him if you speak Italian, I'm assuming, right? So it's basically looking at the nutritional testing. You might want to do like an oat test on him, a stool test. I mean, half his gut is removed. There may be some things you can do to balance it. But I would start with the full stuff. He's disabled. He was strangled at birth. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, well, in any case, just start with the really clean diet. Get him on, you know, lots of greens and juices and low glycemic and all that. NEPT, Lynn asks, is nutritional endocrinology practitioner training. And that's the training program where I train. It's a two-year certification program in nutritional endocrinology. And a lot of our coaches have been gone through that program and certified. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let me see what else. Any other Q&A? Okay. Who's here? Raising hands. I don't see any hands raised. I don't see any more questions. Good luck, Emanuela. Might be worth having, you know, coming to one of our calls if you can get some lab work on him and we can help you to help him, right? So get his labs and phew, wow, he's just had so much. Wow. Yeah. You know, you can submit him as a case. We have a case call today. I don't even know how many cases have been submitted, but you can submit him as a case and we can go through it together and get some insight. Patty, thank you for being here today and enjoy your trip to Hawaii. I am so looking forward to being in Hawaii. Maui is my favorite island that I've been to so far. And I'm going for a health practitioner retreat, kind of mastermind, really mastermind group. And my husband's coming with me, and most of the people in the group are bringing their husbands, wives, and children, or partners of whatever disposition. And so it's just, it's always a great pleasure to go to these because I get inspired by other health practitioners who are like, you know, inspired to change the world, but they are. And it's so wonderful. Well, so wonderful. So, and of course, being in Hawaii, it's the first time I've ever been in Hawaii. Usually it's in like Florida or Phoenix or San Diego. And I'm like so excited to go to Maui. And I'm going to stay an extra week. So, Janet, thanks for a great call. You're welcome. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Decade. You know, you have the power to make your dreams a reality. And, it, you know, people say, well, you can't just think things into reality. No, but combination of inspired vision and belief and taking the right actions can make amazing things happen. So if you're interested tomorrow afternoon, I think it's at 5 o'clock. Let me look at my calendar. Yeah, 5 o'clock. I'm going to do a webinar called New Year, New You. And it's basically about how can we create what we want to create for our lives and our health in 2020. And I'm going to give you some ideas and some work activities, actions, steps that you can take. It'll be dual broadcast on Facebook Live and on Zoom. And so if you can't make it to Facebook, come to Zoom. I sent an email out about it today, and I'll send another email out about it tomorrow. As a reminder, and I'll post it on the Facebook group. It will be broadcast in the Unstoppable Health group and also on the Dr. Rita Marie page. So ideally on the Facebook, the Unstoppable Health group is where you'll find it most easily. And when we do things on the Unstoppable Health group, we're archiving them into a set of like a unit so that you can learn and go back and, you know, re-experience things that we do there. All right, guys, let me check one more time now that I've blabbed for a little bit. Happy New Year to everybody. Let's see on the Q&A. And we're good. I'm going to open everybody's line so you can say goodbye to each other. Have a great rest of the day, rest of the week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Good to hear your voice.